So, amen. It's so good to have Brother Rogers with us. And, you know, I'm amazed at the timeliness of God. And so just the sermon that I'm going to bring to you today, I've started preaching through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 1, the last part of that. And it's one of those portions of Scripture that I have dreaded all week and just really didn't want to preach on it. But the reason I preach through a book is because it makes me preach on topics that I don't like to talk about. And so all week long I've been praying, God, I want to share this the way you would share it if you were in person. If you were here talking about Romans, the end of chapter 1, that's the way I want to talk about it. And so help me to share this the way you would. And then, you know, Brother Mel and I met 6 months ago, I guess, and we set this date up 6 months ago, and only God knew that I would be here and that you would tenor this sermon today. So I thank God for that. Just a couple of announcements. The Yes Group is this Thursday. Yes means young enough to serve. We have noticed in many, many churches across the land, they are ignoring older people. And I just want you to know we will not ignore you. If you're over 60 in this church, we're not going to ignore you. We're going to put you to work. So every month we feed you a dinner because we're going to tell you, hey, get busy, start working. Isn't it funny that when you have the energy to work for God, you have too many commitments. And when the commitments leave, you're so exhausted, you don't have any energy to do anything. So, but you do, actually, you'll find that God energizes you as you begin to work for the kingdom. So also on Saturday at 8 o'clock, we're having the men's breakfast. So that's always a fun time. So the Yes Group is at 12, the men's group at 8 in the morning. And I really need to know how many of you are coming for both. So we need to put a sign-up sheet, of which I have not done that. So also I wanted to let you know, a couple of weeks ago, we collected an offering for a Convey of Hope. They were ministering to our neighbors over at Waverly. They were going to New Orleans for Ida and just felt really impressed that we try to send them an offering every year. But, you know, I ask you to give, and then sometimes we never tell you what you've done. So I wanted to let you know that we collected about $1,300. To send in them, and we had already sent $200 over to Waverly, and so altogether about $1,500 come from this congregation to Convoy of Hope and to help our neighbors. So I want to say thank you. Also today, as we're not collecting the offering anymore, but we still take your offering, and you can give it on the box or you can give it online. But today, if you'd like to give to Mel Rogers and his ministry, you know, we support him monthly, but he also has to have a cash budget, a pretty large cash budget. And that's the part that we could help him today with a one-time offering. So if you'd like to do that on your check, still make your check to Bridge of Hope, and then we'll forward him one check. And but just make sure that you write down missionary or Brother Mel or something that we'll know it goes to him. We can distinguish it. You can give it in the box or you can give it online. I think, Roy, we have a missionary offering box on the online. So, amen. Today, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, I titled this, Wise Men Still Seek God's Righteous Ways. Wise men still seek God's righteous ways. Chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the flesh of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creature who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Isn't that an interesting phrase thrown right in that mix? Discerning, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Father God, we just come before you, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, Lord, that you help us, you educate us through the knowledge of your word, because your word is truth. And Father, your word flies in the face of everything that's coming to us from America and Hollywood and on the news, and everything that we hear, Lord, through the media is almost exact opposite today of your word. So Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can find our knowledge in your word, that we can find truth in your word. God, I pray today that every heart and every mind would be open to allowing the Spirit of God to change their views on the things that we're going to talk about. So Father, use me. May my spirit be your spirit. May my words be your words. Father, may I talk about the love of Christ. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wanted to start with one more verse. Seems like I've read plenty. But James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own evil desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." We have a problem in our nation. And if you're over 40 and you're raising children, I want to tell you something. Your children don't think like you. And you may think that everything that you hold to be true, they believe, and that's not true. It wasn't true for my kids. And I could not believe that my kids, having grown up in church, accepted the garbage that comes through Hollywood as truth rather than what the Word of God says. And we had to have some really, really honest, open discussions to say, "Sons, that's not godly. That's not what God wanted." So I hope, I know there's probably children in our mix today, and I promise you that this is going to be G-rated, so I'll keep it clean. And not that I wouldn't anyway, but I'm cognizant of that they are here. And so let me just share with you what a sort of an overview of chapter 1. So in verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." Right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It reveals it. It brings a righteousness to us. In other words, we are made right through the word of God, through the gospel. The good news, the good story of Jesus Christ brings a righteousness to us, makes us right when there is no other way to be right. He talked a whole lot about trying to earn salvation and do enough right things. And you've made a statement in Sunday school. You said, there is no way you can do enough right things to deserve eternal life or deserve salvation. Folks, I want you to hear that loud and clear. It's not, the world wants to tell you when you get to heaven, there's a scale up there and it's going to weigh your good and your bad. And that is not true. Because you cannot buy salvation. You cannot be good enough for salvation. Salvation, there is one way, and Jesus is the way. Amen? One of the greatest things that I find in Christ is the fact that he tells us the rest of the story. Right? Do you remember being a teenager and how temptation just seems so much greater? And you guys over there say, yeah, I remember. I am a teenager. But Satan has a way. I used to call Satan the greatest artist that ever lived, because he would paint a picture to you when you're young that you can do these things and nothing bad will ever happen. No one will ever find out. You can be as promiscuous, as unrighteous, as perverted as you want to be. Just enjoy yourself. You're young. Sow your wild oats. There's no repercussions. Lie. And God says, I want to pull back the curtain. I want you to see what the continuation of you doing your own thing. Please listen to me. Because it's not just for this person or that person. It's for every person that's been born. Every person that ever lives. We have the same end result if we keep going our way. And it's called the wrath of God. I heard a man say one time, I thought it was so brilliant. He said, you're not saved from hell. You're saved from the wrath of God. And that's what this says. The wrath of God comes from two words. Or in the Hebrew, it's called thumos. In the Greek, it's org. And it means anger and indignation. But it's not like your anger. You know, sometimes when we get mad, there's just like an explosion, right? Whoa, just let you have it. But that's not the way the anger of God is. The anger of God is very calculated. It's like, it's not going to happen the way you think. It's not an emotional outburst. It's controlled, a decisive anger. Read your Old Testament. After years and years and decades and centuries of sinning and rebelling against God, God says there's a judgment day coming. And today I'm here to tell you there is a judgment day coming. But we don't have to be afraid of that. We're not going through it. Do you realize that? We're not going through that judgment. See, our sins was judged right there. Our sins were judged and paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. It really is the greatest story ever told. See, the Bible says, Paul says a couple chapters later, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, it's everyone who's ever lived. We've all sinned. And then he goes on a couple chapters later than that, and he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, every sin has the same payday. It's death. Your sin has a cost. And Jesus is revealing the cost in this. If you can, there's one verse listed a couple times in the Old Testament, and it shows you the condition of men's heart, and it's a scary verse. It says something like this, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, when every man does what's right in his own eyes, that's called chaos. And it shows that this is a bad time. Because if I do what's right just from my eyes, we're all selfish by nature. We are very selfish creatures. So if I do what's right in my eyes, I'm going to take advantage of you because I want to win this bargain, whatever we're doing. So I'm so thankful God gets involved. One of the things that you need to know, that the wrath of God was never intended for his people. I want to read a couple more verses in Ephesians 5:6. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, he says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's sort of a wrath that's coming in your life, and then we know that there's a wrath coming through the tribulation period. Today, many, many ministers are debating, when is the rapture of the church happening? When's the second coming? Do we go through the tribulation? I do not believe that we go through the tribulation. And I have several reasons that I believe, but number one reason that I believe that we will not go through the tribulation, which is the wrath of God, is this verse right there. God's not appointed us to wrath. I mean, it's so clear, so simple to me. God does not violate His word. You need to realize God doesn't want you to go down the path that would create wrath in your life. Does that, am I making myself clear? God appoints us to salvation. God wants all people to be saved. But we have a choice. You have a choice. And chapter 1, the end of chapter 1 says, if you make your choice and your choice is not salvation, let me show you how this ends. Is that clear? God made it obvious that He is the designer and Savior. One scripture says that He writes it on our heart. Eternity is in our heart. We have the faith to believe because God gave us that. But in one scripture here, He says, for the invisible attributes have been made clear, are clearly seen. Now, I found that very ironic. Invisible attributes are clearly seen. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I didn't go too far in school, but that just didn't make sense. I think it's interesting that God says, you know, there's a question that people like to ask. How about people that have never heard the gospel? We've just been talking about that quite a bit. What happens to those people? I'm going to say something very unpopular. They go to hell because they are without excuse. That's hard. Is that not hard? You guys are staring at me. You got to talk to me. We need to tell people, right? We need to tell people about Christ. Now, I know Jesus shows up in people's dreams that have never heard. I mean, God's bigger than us, and I'm thankful for that. But we have the message within us to tell people about Jesus. And we've heard today about an unreached people group that we need to be talking to. And just remember, hell is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. I feel like sometimes we think that heaven is real, but we just try to ignore hell. It will not be ignored. Hell was never intended for people. It was meant for the devil. It's meant for people that do not accept Him. I thought about the attributes of God. What God have you made so clear? And I thought about these, that God is a spirit and truth. Now, how can we see that God is a spirit? Oftentimes you hear things like this. It's sort of like wind. I can't see it, but I know it's happening. Right? I can see the result of when the wind kicks up and the trees begin to bend because of the wind. Well, I got news for you. I don't see the Spirit moving, but I can see the Spirit moving. I thought that might miss you. Just chew on that one a little bit. You may not see it with your eyes, but you can see it with your spiritual eyes. If you did not see the Spirit of God moving across this congregation in worship, then your wood's wet. You just need to come to the altar. You need to get on fire for God, because I'm telling you, God was in the house and God was moving, and God is in the house and God is moving. So God is a spirit and truth. God is eternal. God is wise, just, and faithful. He is merciful and holy, immutable, meaning He doesn't change. God doesn't have to change. He's perfect. These are some of the invisible characteristics of God that are clearly seen. God is self-sufficient. God is omniscient, all-knowing. God is omnipresent, all-present. In other words, He's here today. He'll be with you as you leave. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And then this is one that I had never seen. He's omnibenevolent. God is supremely good. The devil wants to make you think otherwise. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed be His holy name." The earth testifies that there is a creator. If you go by and you see a magnificent building, I want you to know that somewhere in the background there's an architect. Somewhere in the background there was a design team and a general contractor and someone that made that happen. It didn't just spring out of the earth one day. Now you can believe that, right? Thank you, four of you. You know, Janice here worked all last night, and if she goes to sleep in the service, I'm going to be okay with that. But you have no excuse. You wake up. The earth testifies of the Creator. In Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, he says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who have set your glory upon the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Have you ever thought about that? God, why do you pay such attention to us? There's only one reason: because of the love of God. Because he loves us so much, he gives us mind. He thinks about us. The Bible says, and I want you to know, that he is showing you the progression of sin in chapter 1. Okay, you got that? The progression of sin. Do you realize that sin is progressive? In other words, what entertains you today will not entertain you in a few months. You'll have to go a little deeper. You'll have to become more perverted. I've often told you, because I worked with senior citizens most of my life, that a perverted young man turns into a very perverted old man unless he has a but God. Unless a but God changes the way he thinks, he will continue on that perversion. And he becomes very perverted in old age. And I've dealt with both types. We become more who we really are as we get older. So the scripture says his attributes are clearly seen. He says, but because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Now this does not mean they knew God as Savior, but they knew of God. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him. Do you realize how important it is for you to acknowledge God? Do you realize that praise is for you, not for him? He goes on, he starts talking about thanksgiving. Do you know when we become thankful, you know what it does? It blesses us because it stirs our remembrance. It stirs our mind to remember, boy, God, you really are faithful. You really did reach down and do something great for me. I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that you touched my kids. I thank you that you healed me. You stir yourself up, thanking him and glorifying him. But it's a scary thing when we forget to glorify God. See, because there's something about man that needs to lift up something. We have this great need in us that needs to worship. So when we do not acknowledge God, when we won't worship, God will turn to something else. Have you ever thought about the ridiculousness of how they worshiped idols? There's part of the scriptures in the Old Testament that says you take a piece of wood and you create an idol, and then you throw the rest of the wood in your fire to make your meal that night. How ridiculous is that? Do you realize we're still idol worshipers? The Bible says covetousness is the same sin as idolatry. When you covet something, when you're worshiping that rather than God, we need to glorify him. That's why I said, I want you, every one of us, to lift your hands in the sanctuary. I want you to say, I exalt you, O God. Well, to wake up every morning saying, I exalt you this day, God. Draw everyone near. Because if you refuse to worship him, you will find something to worship. And the Bible says that very strange things happen. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they begin to worship the creature. What's he talking about? We begin to worship each other. You know, it's funny to me. There's more worship, I think, of football players and basketball players than there is worship of God in our land. We've got so many problems, so much falseness that we need to deal with. The scary part of this becomes later He says, professing themselves to be wise, they become as fools. Could we just put America there? America, you think you're so wise, you're becoming so foolish. Because the further we move away from God, the more foolish that we are becoming. And guys, here's what scares me. This church is following suit. There was a time in the world when the church led the morality, and now we're just following. It's time we stand up, says, no, we're not going with you anymore. We know truth. Truth is Jesus Christ. Whether it's popular or not, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let's keep going back to that verse. In verse 24, 26, and 28, there is a powerful statement. Three times in this short passage of Scripture, God says this, and I'll turn them over. In other words, God says, every eye on me. If you do not serve me, if you continue in your sin, I'm going to surrender you to your lifestyle. And it becomes more debased, more perverted, worsens with every generation, gets a little worse. The very first thing that he says is that God would turn us over, give us over to an uncleanness in the lust of our hearts. Uncleanness means an impurity, filthiness, immorality, defilement, contamination, and infection. It's like we're too contaminated to be used. It's like if you were having surgery and the assistant drops a piece of instrument on the floor, it is no longer sterile, and that doctor will say, throw that one aside, go give me another one. Give me something sterile to be used. I cannot use this in the surgery. It's contaminated. That's what sin does to our life. It contaminates us. God says, I want you to be holy as I am holy. Holy means separated. Separated from the pack for a specific purpose. God wants to use us in the later days. And we're late, guys. We're just moments away from the end of the world, I believe. God wants to use the church. I want you to see that the whole motivation for this, the whole motivation that God says, I'll turn you over to this, I'll let you go down this road, I'm going to let you see the end result, is redemption. If you miss that picture, you've missed the gospel. If you think God is just mad at us and he's doing this, you missed the gospel. The gospel story is good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus. Why does God allow us to go our own way? Because hopefully he's thinking one of these days they're going to say, surely this is not right. And they'll turn from their sin and they'll say, I need Jesus in my life. So don't ever forget, everything about the gospel is redemption. That's his motive. You know, there's a portion of Scripture that says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So as we begin to talk about such things as this, I want you to know this. What should your attitude be? Definitely not anger. It ought to be compassion. It ought to be love. So when you meet someone that has gone this way, I want you to know, love them. Let's love them into the kingdom. Let me just say this. When God says he gave them over, I want you to know it's hoping that they will turn back. So if they go over that line, they can come back. And by and large, it's the Christians, it's the God's people that's going to stand up and say, there's a better way. We had a person that I know stood up in the sanctuary one time and he says, I'm trying to decide whether I'm gay or not. And I wanted you to know my heart was breaking. My heart was saying, does he not know? How how could somebody in our church say, this is what I'm sort of considering? Have you read chapter 1 of Romans? You don't want to go down that road. I want you to know that I know there are people that have same-sex attractions. That in itself is not the sin. The sin is when you act upon that. You know, I may see a beautiful lady and think, boy, that's a beautiful lady, and that's not a sin. But if I begin to do things in my mind, or if I begin to flirt with her and try to seduce her, that's when I've crossed over into sin. You see, every one of us know the boundaries, and we stop the boundaries, right? We stop. We can't go there. But for the ways of the world, they don't see the boundaries. And for someone that's a Christian that said, I'm considering, I'm just trying to figure this thing out, am I homosexual or not? I'm thinking, dear God, how come he could come into the house of God and talk about that? It's a perversion. Do you not see it? There was a time when it was illegal in the United States. I'm telling you, your children don't see like you see it. And your preaching probably won't change them, but your love may. They need to know that you don't believe it, but they need to know that you love them and that you're not going to stop loving them. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 says, what comes out of a man? They're accusing Jesus of touching, not washing his disciples, not washing his hands and stuff like that. He said, that's not what defiles you. He said, what comes out of a man? It's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, or an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. The second thing is, God says, I'll give them over. I'll give them up to a vile, degrading passions where women will burn lust for themselves. Men will leave a woman and go to a man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I can tell you that as a kid, we talked about this quite a bit. You know why I always felt like we talked about it? Because it didn't affect us. There wasn't homosexuals in the house, so we could talk about homosexuals. I don't want you to pull out the rest of those things. Maybe homosexuality is not the sin that you're leaning to. But that is not the only one that's mentioned. There's more that's going to hell than homosexuals. But the reason we have to talk about this is because they're on that list. But so are thieves, right? So you may not have a problem with homosexuality, but maybe you're the biggest gossip in Paris. Maybe you're stealing from your boss. Maybe you're an adulterer. Maybe you think, well, I'm not cheating with another man, but I got a girlfriend on the side. Well, you're on that list, my friend. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Pastor Eric, do you enjoy talking about this? Are you kidding me? I enjoy talking about the grace of God. I enjoy talking about healing. I enjoy talking about faith. I don't enjoy talking about this, but I'm going to tell you, I've got to talk about it. Because these kids are getting inundated from the news, from everything they read, that there's nothing perverted anymore. Hey, you don't think you were supposed to be a man? Change to be a woman. They're just not pulling back the curtain and telling you the rest of the story. They're not going to tell you that transgender people commit a suicide about 3 to 1. that they're very miserable people after they do this. There's books being written even today about the end result of this. It's being studied by people in the church. We need to educate ourselves, folks. Why? Not because we're mad at them. Not because we hate them. Well, we don't hate them. We love them. We love them enough to tell them the truth. In love. Jack Hafer says this: from a biblical standpoint, the rise of homosexuality is a sign that a society is in the last stages of decay. It's a sign. When we begin to accept this lifestyle, every nation folds after that. They fall. I forgot what year it was that the Supreme Court, in all its wisdom, said it's okay for homosexuals to marry. I've got news for you. Please listen. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The Word of God is truth. It's not okay. It's degrading to who they are. Swindoll said, our fallen nature prefers a creator who does not hold us accountable for wrongdoings. That's our nature. Don't tell me I'm wrong. And the passivity waits for us to reinitiate our relationship with Him when we have grown tired of our sin. But God does hold us accountable for our sins. See, I think what Romans 1 is telling us, when you abandon me, I will abandon you. And the end of the story is when we abandon God, the end result is desperate. It's terrible. It's degrading. The third thing he says, I think in verse 28, he says, and God gave them over to a debased mind. So first you have the activity. The last thing is you have your mind begins to think on vile things. Actually, this could be said a reprobate mind, where you don't even know any longer that it's wrong. You see, our society will argue till the cows come home that this is right. They see no problem. They're not really trying to be just argumentative. They really, really believe that this is just an alternative lifestyle that they have chosen. But it's not. Are you with me? It's not. It's a repercussion of sin. It says, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but also approve of those who practice them. We're on a slippery slope in America. We're going the wrong direction. Church, it's time we stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Our brother said today, he said sometimes when he talks to a Muslim, some want to argue, and he said, I don't want to argue. I don't want to argue either. I don't want to argue. You know, one of the things that makes this so hard is because several people in this church have homosexual children. And I want you to know, I'm not trying to condemn you in any way. There's no condemnation coming from my voice. But there is a wake-up call. And I know you're doing everything in your power. You're praying and you're loving and you're doing. But we need to pray with you. We need to stand with you. We're not here to judge you or your children or your family. We're not here to judge them. We've never been the judge. God's the judge. But we're here to promote truth. We're here to promote love. God is a God of love. And the reason chapter 1 is written is where people would be redeemed from ourselves. If we continue on, this is the path that it leads to. I tell you, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we must get in the book. Again, our brother said that some of the Muslims have never read the Quran. My very first thought was, well, so have Christians. There's many Christians that the only time they read the Word of God is when they're in church. God help us. We need to get in this book because this book is truth. And I'm telling, I wish there was some way I could paint a mental picture for you, but it would probably be like a tsunami. Have you seen pictures of what happened? Was that in Indonesia? That tsunami just overtook that little island, just wiped them off. You know, what they say, like 20-foot waves out of the ocean came and just wiped them away. That's the way of the world, the thought life of the world. What they hold is, are you getting this? That's the thoughts of the world is hitting us like a tsunami. And if you don't have the truth of God within you, you're going to believe a lie. So therefore, loudmouth preachers like me has got to get into the pulpit and say things very brazen. Don't believe a lie. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I thank God that it saved my soul. The gospel is the good news, the good story of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're having a picnic today. And all days I've thought, oh dear God. You're going to make me preach this and then go eat a hot dog with them. If I slip out the side door, would you please excuse me? I wanted to quote a verse to you that's still as much relevant, one of those words, relevant. It's as much relevant today as the day it was written. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. That's the word of the Lord for us today. Guys, I want you to know how vitally important you are. Did you hear me? See, we think we're insignificant. We are not. We are vitally important as believers in the gospel. The Bible says that when the restrainer of the darkness is taken out, that's us. You don't realize it, but you are restraining the darkness. There's one portion of scripture here that I just skipped over. But it says, where is it at? Oh, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all the ungodliness and unrighteous of men who suppress the truth. See, they don't know they're doing that. Ungodly people are not trying to suppress the truth, but they are suppressing the truth. You see, if I'm ungodly, I'm going to raise my kids in the same fashion. I'm not going to tell my children the truth that Jesus wants to save them from their sin. So I'm suppressing the truth from them because I don't have the truth within me. But church, we have the truth. We know the truth. Don't suppress the truth. We must talk about things that are difficult sometimes. We must tell people there's an end result to the way you're living. And it's not good. It's not good. Satan's not showing you, and the world's not showing. Hollywood's not showing this. That's right. But I want you to know, Romans chapter 1, God pulls back the curtain and shows you the rest of the story. Let's be aware. Let's know the truth. Let's walk in truth. But let's walk in grace. Can we do that? Can we decide? Folks, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. If you leave here today and you think, I'm mad at those stinking sinners, you're just as wrong. You got a bad attitude. You need to repent. You need to leave here with this. There go I, except by the grace of God. That's right. There go I, except for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. He saved me when I was 7 years old. Baptized me in the Holy Ghost at 7 years old. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew it was pretty fun. It was pretty good. Just think I'll stay here for a little while. Stayed at the altar for 2 hours as a 7 year old. I had the most patient mother. She just let me sit there and pray in tongues for 2 hours. I got so much of God that night. Bless the Lord. I'm not infinitely wise, but I've always thought the Lord knew He better get me when I was young. Thank God He saved me when I was 7. You know, it's possible that you're not 7 here today. Maybe you're 17, 27, 37, 47, 57. Some 7. And you never surrendered your heart to Jesus. As long as you're drawing breath, it's not too late. Do you realize God can reverse the perversity of your heart? God can change the way you think. Man, that is shouting material right there. You don't have to think depraved thoughts anymore. You don't have to be vile in your thoughts. God will change that. Thank Jesus for that. Would you stand with me? Trevis went back to the nursery, so we don't have any ending music. You are more than welcome to stay and eat a hot dog or a hamburger. Watch the kids get wet. Just have a good time today. Some of the people have been out working very hard for this day, so we want you to stay and be a part of it. But more than anything, I want you to be sure that you know that you're part of the family of God. You know, I know this statement gets a little old, but what happens if you die today? Are you absolutely sure you're going to be in heaven? Come on, it's worth thinking. You got to consider these things. I'm not saying, are you perfect? I'm saying, are you forgiven? Have you been forgiven? Did He pay for the price of your sins? Would everybody just look at me? Would you look at me? Do you know you're saved? Would you just raise your hand and say, I absolutely know, Pastor, that I am born again. My sins have been paid for. Amen. Amen. Put your hands down. I want to pray. It looked like every hand in the place for me. I want to pray for you that have family members that have gone down this path. I know it hurts. I know these sermons hurt, quite honestly, because, you know, nobody wants to hear that my son or my daughter is on the path to hell. But we have to talk about it in the church. We have to talk about it. But you know, the thing that we can do for you is we can pray for you that God gives you supernatural strength. It's possible here that there's people just entertaining the thoughts. Like, wonder what that's like. Please hear me out. Stop it. Stop entertaining those thoughts. It's not a good ending picture. It's not like Hollywood tells you. I promise you it's not that way. Does that make sense to you? I'm sorry that we're teaching our second graders that if they don't feel like a boy today, they can resolve to be a girl. No, I'm sorry, you can't. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. God made you male and female. God didn't make you to be some weirdo. God wants you to know. You may be very unique, and that's okay. God loves unique. God made clay. It's okay to be unique. But there's just certain things that we ought not toy with. Okay? Does that make sense? I'm going to pray. I want you to pray with me. I want to pray, first of all, for anyone that was in the room that maybe doesn't know for sure that they're going to go to heaven. I want to pray that you surrender your heart to Jesus, and I would like for you to talk to me at the end of the service. And then I'm going to pray for you that are dealing either with a close friend, a relative, maybe a son or a daughter, that is in the homosexual lifestyle. Father God, I come before you today, and I thank you for Romans chapter 1. Lord, even though it's hard to share, God, I thank you, Lord, that I know that the only reason you shared this is because you want to redeem us from the way we are going, from the end story. Father, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone in this, under the sound of my voice, that does not absolutely know for sure that if they died today, they would wind up in heaven, that they have been forgiven, that they trust Jesus and they are following Jesus with all their heart, God, I pray that they would ask you to forgive them today. Forgive them of their sin and be their Lord and Savior. Come into their heart. Begin to change them. You said you would make us a new creation in Christ. And old things would be passed away. God, you said you'd begin to renew our mind through the washing of the Word. So God, transform us. Make us into the image of Christ. It's our heart's desires to be like you. God, I pray for my friends. God, I know that this sermon probably hurt their heart. God, it was never my intention to hurt anyone, just to preach your truth. And God, sometimes it's so difficult to deal with truth. But today we've tried to. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have family members that are into the homosexual lifestyle. And I ask, and God, I pray for grace. God, give them the supernatural ability to sow seeds of salvation into their loved ones all the time, to keep just preaching Jesus and the love of God. May their hearts remain tender and pure and loving towards their family members. God, may this church always be loving to those that are in sin, whatever the sin is, God, because we don't want to become angry, and we've not been called to be judges. We've been called to be the church, to walk in unity and love and preach the truth of the beautiful story of Jesus. God, thank you. Be with them. Be with us as we deal with this world that's rapidly changing. May we teach our values to our children. And may Hollywood stay out of our bedrooms and our houses. God, I thank you for Brother Mel. I thank you, God, for missionaries, men and women that you've called out. And you said, I'm giving you the heart to go after them. God, I count it an honor to be his friend and to be someone that can sow into his ministry and someone that can be taught by him. God, I pray, Lord, for the richest blessings upon his ministry, upon your ministry in him. God, may he reach the Muslims all over this world. God, together we pray for Muslims all over the world that they would find Christ, that they would see what we're talking about, the salvation of Jesus Christ. Oh, let them know. Let them know that there is a love story that was written that they need to know about. Father, be with us as we celebrate and have fun with our children today. And eat a hamburger or a hot dog. God, keep us all safe. God, thank you for those that have gone out early today and have worked so diligently, Lord, to make this an enjoyable day for our young families. God, be with them. Be with each and every one of us. May we walk in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Denny, would you come and... Did you have something to say? Oh, thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Here, I thought she was clapping for me coming up. Before we close, I just want to encourage you. Our wonderful missionary shared in Sunday school. He's got a table in the back. Most of the time when a missionary comes, all they bring you is like a little card with their own picture on it. But I see he's got like books and stuff back there. So please stop by his table. Take a look at what he's got. take a card to pray for them. Follow them on social media so that, like on Wednesday night when it's my turn to talk and you get bored, you scroll through social media, you get blessed as well. So please do that. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.